Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, March 4th, 2024, and, oh, it's going to be an interesting discussion tonight. So many things to talk about and to cover so little time. But first, we will remind everybody what it means to be an American with the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. That last line, defend against all enemies, is so critical. And with that being said, yes, I do love my country, and yes, I am afraid of my government. I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And I think if you're not afraid of this government, you just are not paying attention, you're under a rock, whatever. Something is seriously wrong if you're not afraid. But anyway, with that being said, we will go ahead and get started. Tonight is going to be, it's actually part one of two things. I'll kind of explain that. Right now, it's like what we see these people in Congress doing, and of course at our state and local levels as well. You're talking to them about signing the CR that does nothing for our border while we send money to Ukraine? No. No. What part of no don't you understand? It's like, are you people this far gone? And, you know, Peter Schreiser has put out books about the government corruption. He's got a new one coming out calling or discussing about all the corruption with it. And he's got, there was one, two books that were really good on this, but he's had many, Red Handed and Blood Money. And the one that's just coming out is Blood Money, Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. This does it all. It's all because they're compromised. And I can't remember the exact number that he said in his report. I'd have to go look again. But it was something like 50 to 75% of our Congress is compromised. They've been bought off by the CCP or China, you know, between their foreign interests. Everybody knows that about McConnell. He's totally bought off. He's a Chinese as far as I'm concerned. He's not American. He shouldn't be there. And this kind of stuff. So we can't expect anything different, and it has nothing to do with party. They're all compromised. They're just scumbuckets. That's all they are, a bunch of scumbags. And it's like, we have to fire them. And a few years back, I was working with a group called GO, G-O-O-O-H, Get Out of Our House, which was helping citizen candidates. It was a very popular idea. Fox News had them on one time. Had the guy on one time, and the switchboard lit up, and then, of course, they couldn't have him on again, which, of course, said a lot about what Fox News was even back then. And so we've got to come up with a better plan to help American citizen patriots run for office. But first thing we have to do, and at the same time, we have to be firing these people. There are so few people in public office today that I could think that I would want to keep there. You know, how many truly should stay there? How many have earned our trust and respect enough to be reelected? Very, very few. So in the next, between this week and next week, I'm going to be working on a list. And it's going to have things like, I don't want to call it the contract with America. We did that a while back with Newt Gingrich and all that stuff. But I do, maybe it's contract with Americans, Legal Americans or something. I haven't figured out the name, but and it's going to have a list. So when I go to an event where there's candidates there, I'm going to say, are you willing to sign this agreement with me? This agreement is that, no, you will do no funding of NGOs. Now, I know one person doesn't make that decision, but they have to be, no, they will not vote for funding of NGOs. No, you will not fund solar panel farms, and you will not fund windmills, and you will, the other will be, you will protect our right to eat beef, because they're taking that away from us, too. I mean, the things that are going on, our right to own a gas stove that people have owned for hundreds of years, this kind of stuff. And if they're not willing, and I mean, it's going to be a pretty decent list. I don't want to go and make, I'm sure I could come up with a couple hundred things they should do. But don't want to get that carried away with it. But if you get some of these really key elements out there, voting to protect our right to have gas cars and stop funding EVs and this kind of stuff, then I think the others will probably be a little bit easier. But I really want to have this contract. And if I go to a candidate's forum, meet and greet and whatever else, and they won't sign the stuff, because I'm not going to put anything extreme out there. I don't think I'm going to put anything nutso, but I'm going to put some very basic critical things. And then if they refuse to sign that they cannot make a commitment to me that they will not fund solar panels and the stupid stuff, but I'm saying I can't vote for you. We have to fire Congress that's in there. We have to get people in there who truly believe in something. And this is going to be a checklist. If you can't even agree to this, then I can't vote for you. Whoops. Let's see here. Let's make sure Blog Talk isn't messing up stuff here. We've had so many different challenges with Blog Talk. Okay, there we go. Well, looks like we're okay. Okay. Thank goodness for small favors. Anyway, every time I do a Blog Talk show, setting up the show page and everything, I'm thinking, well, I wonder if this is going to work this week because we've had so many problems with them. But anyway, that's what my intent is. And anybody, if you're out there in the chat room, and I see some people out there, if you want to put one-liners of what must do that, or refuse to fund NGOs, or whatever you think should be part of this contract, if a candidate isn't willing to sign on to that, you will not support a convention of states. You will support following the Constitution, and of course that one gets a little bit messy, but well, whatever. The whole point is I really want to make them sign the dotted line, and if you can't do this, I can't vote for you. I might as well vote for that dead frog in the road because it's about as useful or useless as you are. So I don't need those kind of representatives or senators. The other thing is, we'll go through some of the highlights of the week, and then we'll get into the stuff I have on the show page. I'm sure everybody here listening heard about SCOTUS. They said, nope, the states cannot remove a candidate off the ballot. Congress would need to act. I don't have all the details in front of me, but the whole point is Colorado lost their case, which means I think it was Maine and Illinois were also playing the same games, trying to keep Trump off of the ballot. So that's gone down the tube. Let's see, Florida recently had a COVID roundtable. Now, we're going to talk briefly about COVID tonight, but next week I'm going to plan on getting into it a lot more, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. The thing that was interesting, this was DeSantis and the Florida Surgeon General that were having the roundtable. This was after they had the grand jury, COVID grand jury thing they did a year ago, which I heard part of it, but not all of it. It was somewhere in there towards the beginning. I can't remember exactly. Ron DeSantis goes and says something stupid like, well, there are some people that are saying everything was done right, that they did everything right. Now, who do you think he's talking about? Who do you think he's talking about? It's no. Ron, shut up. Governor DeSantis, shut up. Can't really fire you. I mean, it wouldn't be worth the hassle trying to fire you at this point to recall you or whatever. But don't plan on getting another job. You keep talking the way you do. However, I will give credit. Florida has done some stuff to defund the DEI stuff. That's the diversity, equity, inclusion crap, where, you know, whatever, based on your color of your skin or something, you can be a brain surgeon, even though you don't have a clue what a brain surgeon does. You know, whatever. All these stupid things that they come up with just are ridiculous. So Florida has taken some actions to defund that. But when it comes to elections, Florida is way off the mark. They've done everything to corrupt our elections. I'm really trying to figure a way to get hold of Mike Lindell to find out what his group is doing, because I don't hear him talking too much about Florida, and he should be. Would seem like it. We also had Steve Baker. He's a reporter. He is a libertarian, right-leaning, whatever, reporter. He was there at Jan 6, and there are all sorts of hassles, and all of a sudden they come back and have arrested him. They treat him like some type of, I mean, they wouldn't treat all these other real criminals and the illegals who go around killing young girls and things like that. They would never treat them this way. But because this guy was a reporter, had a lot of video, I gather, for Jan 6, they have him in the chains and everything else. I mean, the whole thing, it was just everything they could do to disgrace or put this guy down. You know, it was just it's so sick. And, I mean, I think the guy truly is a political prisoner. And you think about what our country was founded on. We're not supposed to be about political prisoners. That isn't supposed to be what we are. That's what we were escaping from. Has anyone read the Declaration lately? Declaration of Independence, all the reasons why we declared independence? It's just amazing to me when they could do these things. For somebody who'd never had any kind of violent, had never been arrested, no violent crime or, you know, nothing like that, but because they were the opposition, because they were not that they weren't even necessarily supporting Jan 6ers, but they were there reporting on it and reporting honestly on it. And, of course, you can't do that. You know, you can't be a reporter and actually talk about what they really did with the pipe bomb nonsense and everything else. Just disgusting. Let's see. Then there was the other thing where Trump and Biden both went to the border, kind of an interesting thing of where they went on the border and all that kind of stuff, insanity, and Biden acting like there's no – I mean, he's got a split personality on this one too. He's talking about the border needs we need immigration reform and the border controls and whatever else, and at the same time there's not a problem, and, of course, his stupid Secretary of Homeland Security – Mayorkas out there acting like, oh, see how wonderful everything is? I mean, it's just, these people are totally disgusting. And Biden never mentions the young lady who was killed in Georgia. Just absolutely terrible. Disgusting. So there's that one. Let's see. Then the other, I was talking about Florida and election integrity or lack of. I just realized or found out this past week, literally, the honest to goodness truth, in the state of Florida, you can prove citizenship by having a debit card or a credit card. They will let you vote because a debit card or a credit card is considered acceptable identification to vote. How insane is that? That is so, so insane. And so that's a sample of what Florida is when it comes to this election stuff. I mean, Florida does some good things on some other stuff, but not when it comes to this election. It's just beyond me. So how would you ever say a debit or credit card is proof? I mean, if I go into a bank and I show them a credit card, does that mean they're going to let me draw money out of an account? No. No, not at all. And then tomorrow is a Super Tuesday, so we're going to see how that goes. That should be an interesting ride. And as I mentioned earlier, COVID, we'll talk a little bit about COVID. And if you'll notice out there on the show page, I put two links out there, or I put several links out there, but there's a couple of links out there for COVID. If you have not seen Senator Ron Johnson's roundtable, What Are They Hiding? It's 4 hours. So I'm going to tell you, it's 4 hours. It wasn't boring. It really was not boring. It was, oh, my God, my own country is killing us. what these people have done to humanity. It's just absolutely disgusting. That's why we have to fire these people in Congress. Fire anybody that supports any of this insanity. It's just absolutely disgusting. And the money, and then they talk a lot about the WHO, and because the games they're playing, they're not entering a treaty, they're having an agreement, and the surrender. The WHO could literally control our health care. It's so unconstitutional, and it should be null and void if it's unconstitutional. But do you think Michael Johnson is going to worry about whether it's constitutional? He says he knows the Constitution, but doesn't seem like he looks at it very often or follows it from what I'm seeing. So it's just totally insane, and you really need to listen to what all these different people, the doctors, and some of them aren't the doctors or analysts and stuff like that. It's just very, very interesting. And I really want to spend more time next week talking about COVID and going into the details. It's a show by itself. It's probably two shows by itself. And then the same thing with watching Dr. David E. Martin. He goes through the history, and I actually did provide a link to the timeline of when this stuff all started, when they truly identified this coronavirus that they could manipulate was back in 65. And the no sooner had the Nuremberg trials been over and they changed the laws on that, than they went and said, well, except for all these other things. You can't test drugs on people except. And just the insanity of it all, and facing the fact that we have a government that's trying to kill us and the world. It's so absolutely sick. How can you have respect for any of these people who don't adamantly speak up and oppose this stuff and try to change it when they're in that position? It's so disgusting. But you really need to watch it. I really encourage you to truly appreciate what COVID really is. The other part of this that came out, we've said it in the past, and I still believe it, but I have a little bit of a change. The whole reason COVID came about. Now, COVID was going to come out regardless. Truthfully, I think we would have had a COVID plandemic, regardless whether it was Hillary Clinton or Trump. Only because Trump was in there, and Trump was the one pushing back, they had to take a slightly different approach. He was not willing to just – he wasn't part of that plan. He was not part of the Great Reset and the World Order and all that insanity like Hillary Clinton was. So – when you go and you see the timelines by David E. Martin, you'll see it talks about what was happening in 2015, 2016. 2017, it was 2017, I believe, when Fauci said, the next administration's going to widespread pandemic event, whatever, and said all this kind of stuff then. And, of course, that happened. And see, that, I think, truly would have happened, whether it was Hillary or Trump. But Hillary would have handled it a whole lot differently because she believed in the New World Order, Hillary Clinton. She was pushing for it. So that was part of their plan to begin with. However, when the plan came through and Trump was there, it changed a little bit. And it took a different flavor. And so they took a different approach. You have to, when you see these timelines, and anybody, I know the majority of people on this call listening, understand that they've been trying to take us down. The New World Order is nothing new. The Great Reset is nothing new. It was George H.W. Bush out there on the House floor in his State of the Union. We are approaching, we have a New World Order. We are working on a new, whatever it is. It's been going on in, of course, the World Economic Forum. So that's all, it's nothing new, absolutely nothing new to it. But when you see these timelines and you see the progression, it makes sense. And then you just kind of say, well, COVID was going to, the pandemic was going to happen one way or another. It probably would have happened at a different time. Who knows, if Hillary Clinton had been there, maybe it would have happened sooner or whatever, but they had to use it as a weapon against Trump. And Trump just really, I just wish he would emphasize when this happened, how he did the shutdown for the ban on travel and how he got the respirators all to the places and what, different things that he did to took action and got people together, all hands on deck kind of thing. And then, of course, the issue with the vaccine, which, again, the timelines, when you hear some of the things that David E. Martin talks about on these timelines, very, very interesting as to how this was all going. But it's a sick society when you want to kill your own people. It's a sick society when you want to kill anybody, when you want to kill them. It's one thing when you're doing it out of defense, which, of course, we don't do that now. We don't defend Americans, when you do that kind of stuff. But to just think that you're out there trying to kill off the world. And I saw something today where it was Kissinger who was out there saying the biggest world problem, depopulation, was the biggest issue that needed to be dealt with, or something stupid. And how long ago was that kind of thing? So it's a very, very sick state of affairs. But we'll spend more time on COVID going into some of the very specifics. And hopefully you get a chance, if you haven't already watched any of this, to watch it before next week's show so we can have a little bit better conversation about it. Just amazing what COVID really, really is. It's just, and like I said, I'm afraid of this government. Just no telling what they will do to us next. And then the total corruption of the elections. This is why we have to fire Congress. They can't even do anything to ensure an honest election. They're doing everything to manipulate elections and take away our rights. I mean, that's what it is. And so, and then I'm asking, where are the governors? Because the states, this is from a congressional level, they trample on the states' rights. The states don't defend their rights, which is the governors and the legislature for each state. That's out there too. So there's so many reasons why we need to fire Congress. The one last thing I'll mention real quick here, this thing about McConnell stepping down, what a farce. Apparently, I guess his wife's sister was killed. Don't know all the details. I'm not going to try to figure all that one out. But he was, I think, using that as part of his reason. When there's probably something else there, but who knows? I don't know. But when he said, for a variety of reasons, whatever, but he's not really stepping down because he's going to stay there till after the election. So as long as he stays there till after the election, he's not stepping down. It only means that come next year, he wouldn't be the, when the next Congress comes in, he won't be the leader for whatever it may be, whether it's be the, hopefully we take over the Republicans, not we, but we take over the Senate. So at least we might have a chance to have something done, even though 50-50 right now, it shouldn't have been like it is now. But McConnell's not on our side. McConnell is a communist. And that's all there is to it. Anybody want to doubt and prove to me he's not a communist? Go for it. So, and then going back to what Peter Schweizer was saying in blood money, 50 to 75% of the people in Washington, D.C. are all compromised. So who do we think they're working for? They're not working for us. They're out there getting rich and taking advantage of the power they've been entrusted with, doing all their insider trading deals, getting money, and getting all the bennies with all the various lobbyists they get. It's the whole thing is so disgusting. We have to fire Congress. We really have to. So it's not going to be easy, but we got to get the scumbuckets out of there. They've destroyed this country too much as it is, so we have to do something, and enough is enough. And that's while I'm saying Congress, it's at every level. We have to do this at every level. But it's definitely Washington, D.C. There couldn't be a bigger cesspool than Washington, D.C. I think that truly is the world's largest cesspool. There's more garbage in that place, sewage in that area, than any place else in the world. And most of them wear suits and sit inside a building and all that other stuff. They're just disgusting. With that being said, I will see if Karen wants to chime in on anything I have just said, wants to share her opinion, and tell me what I either missed or add on to it, whichever. Hey, Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Sally. It's always good to be on the show with you. You didn't miss anything, and you really nailed it on a lot of the topics, because it's up to us, really. And to me, that is our biggest problem. We, the people, seem to ignore the important things when we're meeting a potential candidate, and we don't vet them properly. And that, to me, creates the biggest problem, because we'll choose somebody because they look nice, they sound nice, they're nice people. That's not going to make it for a legislator. We have to ask the right questions. We have to vet our candidates, and we have to stop letting the ones that are real rhinos, like we have in our Florida legislature right now, slide by. And that, to me, is a bigger problem than anything else. We did, however, because the people got engaged, and that is always wonderful, and that's why it's so important that we get engaged. The people got engaged, and we killed two very, 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 I can't emphasize enough, dangerous bills. One of them was 721, and that would have allowed anybody to go to any polling place and, let's say, an election worker asked them for their ID, and the person didn't like the way they were asked, they could file a lawsuit against the election worker. They could file a lawsuit against the poll worker. This is what they were driving at. And interestingly enough, this was a Democrat-sponsored bill. So why would our, quote, supermajority Republicans want to vote for a Democrat-sponsored bill that was doing nothing more than silencing speech and throwing people in jail for saying the wrong thing? Who determined that? So that was a very dangerous thing. We were able to get rid of that one. The other one was the same thing, but it was aimed at alternative media, and that was 757 and SB 1780. And what that would have done was, let's say on your show, Sally, you said something I didn't like. It doesn't matter what it was. You said, oh, they're scumbuckets. Well, I could take you to court for that. Not only that, I could sue you. I could do all kinds of things. You could wind up in jail for hate speech for just voicing your opinion. So we had big attacks on freedom of speech, and thank goodness the people got engaged, because that's how they got killed. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to, quote, win back America, we should understand what America stands for and how important freedom of speech is and how important our journalists are. You spoke about Stephen Baker and Catherine Heritage. Catherine Heritage won't reveal the sources, so they fired her from, I think it was CBS, and now they want to put her in jail. And Stephen Baker made the mistake of reporting accurately what was going on in the Capitol on J6. How do I know he was reporting it accurately? Because he had the pictures to back it up on his camera. I mean, this is what they are attempting to do is truly disgusting. And treasonous. I truly believe it is treasonous. The people that are promoting communism and Islamism and any other ism and not nationalism belong in jail, because they are destroying our country. And it is sad to see. So I had a couple of things that I wrote in one of my articles, and I would like to share them, because you have to ask our candidates the right questions. So there are many questions we can ask, but I have wrote down five short ones. And that is, are they in favor of the state having ultimate power over all local events? We have a bill, 102, that was passed last year, And it starts out by saying, eliminates the authority of local government. They don't have a right to eliminate the authority of local government. And who are they giving this authority to? They're giving the authority to developers to be able to develop low-cost housing projects so that the so that the county commissioners or your mayor or your council, whatever you're calling them, does not have the right to say, no, you're not going to put it there. And what's going on, as Cindy has reported in Martin County, is they're building all over. They're building on the, quote, conservation areas. So why did they make such a big deal and take our money and buy these conservation areas if now they're allowing building and development of low-cost housing? So we have another bill that is similar to that, and that one is 1051, and that's HB 1051 and SB 1082. And those bills almost have the same verbiage, only they want to allow low-cost housing to be built on agricultural land. So if you have land that's agricultural and the developer wants to build on it, tough on you. I mean, this is, we have to ask our new potential legislators, they believe that the rights of the city, the rights of the people that live in the community. In case they forgot, the people in the community made the state house. They elected those people. Those people are working for the people in the community. Now all of a sudden, the state has determined that they are superior. No, they're not. They're equal. They have no right to do that. That was one thing. Another is, will they accept the fact that our employees should be DIE, D-I-E, diversity, inclusion, and equity, compliant, that the people that are running our state should be chosen because of the skin color or because of an ethnicity, and now because of a sexual orientation? Or are they going to choose the best and the brightest? Who do you want running your state? Think about it, people. Who do you want running your state? Because right now we see the results of what this affirmative action graduates are doing to our country. Look at the two affirmative action graduate morons that are district attorneys, Letitia James and Fannie Willis. They think they're above the law. They do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want, and they will put you in jail. In the meantime, Fannie Willis has been stealing the taxpayers' money and going on vacation, and Letitia James has been stealing the campaign funds and going on vacation. And they think that nobody's going to go into them because they're special. Well, they're not special. They're the same as everyone else, and they should be following the same laws. Now, another thing is they are trying to keep we the people off of the planning and zoning board. That's the most important thing in your county, the planning and zoning. Where the house is going to go, what kind of community is it going to be. If they come into your community, as they are doing in South Florida, and they're trying to put up these high-rises, low-income high-rises. I lived in New York. And when I was growing up, they put a low-income housing project, is what we called them then, about five blocks away from where I live. Fortunately, it was a different time than it is right now, but I can tell you that after 2 years, that housing project was full of graffiti. People were robbed. We didn't have the rapes that we have today. But this is what goes on when people don't have a vested interest in where they live. And when we tried to get a law passed that would have said that the people should be responsible and they should pick up their trash and things like that, the communists said, no. That's on the landlord. No, that wasn't on the landlord. That should have been on the people that lived there. So this is another important thing. You have to get on the planning and zoning board. Otherwise, you're going to wind up with sustainable development, 15-minute cities, and you will not be happy. I can about before. How do they feel about free speech? What does free speech mean to them? What length will they go to protect it? What happens if I say, I don't like you? You're a candidate, you're running for office, I don't like you. And I am going to tell my friends I don't like you. Well, that could be construed as hate speech by the crowd that we have running the government today. And also, they are trying to limit our time at public meetings. That one really gets me. Then we used to have 5 minutes to talk. Now we have 3 minutes. If they had their way, we'd have 30 seconds. You'd be able to go up there and say, thank you for letting me come and speak. And that would be the end of your conversation. So these are things that, and also, when was the last time you read the Constitution? And is democracy, what is democracy? Democracy is really just one person, one vote. That's it. That's the democratic system. One person, one vote. We don't have a democracy government. We have a republic. We act using democratic laws and rules. And we should be able to talk to our representative anytime we go to a meeting. We are paying their salaries, and they are limiting our conversation. They don't want to hear from us. They're not interested. So these are a couple of suggestions as the candidates are going around and trying to convince you to vote for them, that you may want to ask them. You know, it's real nice. They have a family. They go to church. They live in the community forever. All of that is very nice, but what does it mean for future governance? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. If you can't speak and you can't be on a zoning board and your government has said that the developers are more important than your elected officials, well, what kind of country is that? Where are we living? And that is up to us to win or lose. But if we're silent, we will lose. That is our major problem. So I hope that helps, and I hope that people will ask the right questions. That is of utmost importance. We have to ask the right questions. And the final words, I've been conversing with a group of people who are the Democrat communists. I find it very interesting that they never can answer a question I ask. And I always ask them a question. And I'm always Indian, and I just ask them a question. Like, how much CO2 is in the atmosphere? Because they work on global warming. They have never answered a question. But what they do when they don't like what I'm saying is they call me names. And you could imagine what some of the names are. So we have to be careful, folks. We really have to be careful who we put in office. And right now, I believe that any Democrat that gets in office either votes for communism, and we will own nothing, and we won't be happy. So thank you, Sally.
Well, and sad fact is a lot of those Republicans are the same thing. And I would add, I mean, at the federal level, of course, at the state level, it's a little bit different. Not everybody knows what's happening at different states as much as at the federal level. But at the federal level, I mean, I can think of maybe 10 people I would keep there. I really push to see who I would think truly deserves the right to stay in public office for who's there right now. When it comes to the House of Representatives, very few. What, 6 people? 7? I mean, most of them I just couldn't vote for. I think they need to all be replaced. I mean, you know, I happen to like Matt Gaetz. I like, you know, some of those, the what they want to call the MAGA or the Freedom Caucus, whatever. And, I mean, I even have when it comes to Jim Jordan. Well, I like him in a lot of ways. There's things about Jim Jordan, wait a minute, I think someone needs to put him to task on. Well, what about this? I mean, I see you at these hearings and you do some really good things, and then after that you go and do some stupid vote that doesn't make any sense or whatever. So, oh, I see Joe's out there. So we'll get an update from Joe in just a second. But how many people do you think are in Congress today that truly belong between the House and the Senate? We won't even talk about the White House, but the House, the representatives in the Senate.
I would really agree with you and say there's just about a handful, but we have to be really careful right now because the Democrat plan they have laid it out is to take over the House and not certify the election if Trump wins. So think about that when you're voting now. As much as I don't want to vote for a lot of people that are there, if we can get rid of the most egregious ones, then we might have to live with some of the others right now because you can't focus on everything all the time. And I hate, we have to hold our nose and vote for whomever. But in this case, if we want Trump to get elected, have an election that's certified, then we have to be careful who we are going to be electing for the House. And some of the House members, maybe if we get enough backup, will change their minds. Not that they will change who they are, people really won't, but maybe instead of being 40% on voting for the people, maybe we can get them up to 50 or 60%. But it's a really scary thing if the Democrat goal is to take back the House and to make sure that they don't certify the election. So, again, we have that we must think about. And also, the other thing that I found really interesting was that it seems as though what primary did Nikki Haley actually win? The only one that she won was the one that was filled with rhinos in the swamp. That was D.C. That was the primary that she won. So it really shows me how out of touch the rhinos and the swamp are with the American people who are voting overwhelmingly to get Trump back in office. And also, it really is very interesting that if, let's say, oh, this is really bad. Let's say that Biden really got their 83 million people to vote for him, which I doubt seriously. But 10% of them said they won't vote for him again. So that 10% is now voting for Trump. So how is that going to sit with the rhinos in D.C.? And it'll be very interesting on Super Tuesday to see if Trump takes a sweeping victory, which I believe he will, then it shows in blaring neon lights how out of touch Washington is with the rest of the country.
Yeah, if we can have honest election counts. I mean, it goes back to that famous saying, it's not who casts the vote, it's who counts the vote when it comes to that kind of stuff. So have to hope and pray for that one. So let's see if Joe wants to give us any final updates tomorrow. Now, in like Florida, on the 19th, Florida is having the presidential primary. It's not having the regular primary for all the other offices will be in August. So it's strictly presidential on the 19th. But North Carolina, as I understand it, this is their primary for all of their offices. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Doing all right. Yeah, you're correct on that. And you made a key point right there is that, you know, What corrections have been made to the election process from 2020? What have we corrected and changed that would eliminate fraud, theft, and lies, cheating, and all the other crap that goes along with it? Nothing. Nothing. Zero. What have we done? Nothing. So do we really think all of a sudden the cheaters have gone home and they picked up their ball and their cards and they decided to go home and not play anymore? They're still out there. They're still going to be playing with the election. I mean, come on. I mean, it's common sense, right? Wake up, people. I mean, we don't have a lawful government anyway, but trying to get good people in the de facto corporation is the only hope we have anyway. So that's what we have to do and try to restore the republic from within. You do the same thing they did to us, usurp them and infiltrate them. And because right now we have a corporation that doesn't care about us and does not represent us at all, at all, at all. I'll say it 9 more times, okay? They don't care about you and they don't represent you. Okay, their codes, bills, that's right, a bill. That's why they call it a bill. It's a bill to you, and you're going to pay it one way or another with your life, your freedom, money, whatever which way. You're going to pay that bill. They don't, you know, this is what I'm saying. We got to get back to what our republic was supposed to be for the people, by the people, and representing the people, and live free and self-govern. You know, we don't have that anymore. And I don't think we can ever really get back to it in a way because we have so much reliability of people that are relying on the government. I mean, you shut down trash service in Manhattan, what the hell's going to happen? You'll have the rats eating the people alive, you know? So, well, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, so, you know, we got a lot of things to think about here. That's one thing for sure.
You got that right. How did everything go last week with you? I haven't heard any official update. How was everything going with you?
Well, they're still going to get me. I got to go back April 1st. I mean, just pray I win my election tomorrow because that is my election tomorrow. Even though they call it a primary, there's no general election in November. So if I win, I get the office. And they also say, they apparently say that they're refusing to seat me now. They don't recognize my candidacy. I wonder how that's going to play out. How are they going to usurp my so-called constitutional rights then? Wouldn't that just prove what I just said? We don't have a constitution? I mean, if the voters vote me in, right, and they refuse to seat me, how is that going to play out with our voters? We'll have a revolution start right here in my county because they ain't going to go for that in this county. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, they're just fueling the fire and pushing people to vote for me by saying stuff like that, you know?
Well, that's it. And, you know, that brings up, you talk revolution. There's some kind of a revolution going on right now. Don't ask me what kind it is. To be honest, there's so many different things going on. But I just know, I mean, I don't – truthfully – no matter who gets elected as far as the presidency in November, I hate to think of what's going to happen to this country. We have the morons, the communists, the communist Marxists out there, they have no ethics or integrity or decency, so they'll do whatever. You know, it'll probably be worse than George Floyd and all that other stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. What will they do if Trump is reelected? And if he's not reelected, if Biden or whoever was reelected, then the republic has totally fallen because it's over then at that point. And the other piece, too, because of all this illegal immigration coming in here, all these MAMs, military-age men that are coming in here, you got cells planted all over this country. You just, you know, whether it's going to be Obama doing it or whoever's going to say, okay, China, come on in, you know, take course now. It's your turn. Go ahead.
You're starting to see the crimes starting to pop up across the country. The crime that's, you know, the backlash of this. You're starting to see a lot of these immigrants, and you know, and people, women being raped, murdered, children being kidnapped. You're seeing a lot of this start to pop up now. And the news, they can't hide it any longer. The news stories, you know.
They really can't, which actually that brings up something else. I saw something over the weekend. I think it was either Washington State or Oregon where they're reversing previous decriminalizing. They're reversing some of the previous laws they did decriminalizing drug stuff. So I guess they've realized that the drug dealers and the other stuff going on there maybe wasn't such a wonderful thing. All the crime that goes to it. And there was some other stuff, too. There's a couple of communist states. I'm going to call them what they are, communist states, where I guess the people are getting, wait a minute, this isn't quite what I wanted. You know, yes, I wanted a free phone, but I didn't want all this, you know, the insanity of it all. And what Karen was talking about on the building, these buildings are all for the illegals. I mean, they're putting out the American people while they're supporting all these illegals and of course, supporting Ukraine. There could be no more treasonous government than what we have today. I see that at all levels. Because if the states don't push back against the garbage that the federal government is doing, then they're just as bad. What's the expression about, you know, the bank robber. If you're driving the getaway car, you're driving the getaway car for that bank robbery, you're part of it too. So just because you sat there and didn't go inside doesn't mean you're not part of the bank robbery, because you are.
Right.
And that's what I see about the states. The states aren't doing anything either. It's totally disgusting.
Yeah. My representative, the guy I'm running against, said we stand with Texas on his social media. I wrote a comment underneath that. I said, you stand with Texas? Well, why aren't you sending the National Guard down there like other states are? Why do you mean you stand with Texas? You know, don't give me that crap.
Yeah,
you damn, you freaking, you're a phony baloney. All of them are. They're full of it. And we got to call them out on it. You know, every single time we hear them talk, do a podcast show, or get in front of a camera, call them out. Call them out on it. You know.
Yep. And going back to this election stuff of what's going on there, which isn't North Carolina's not not the only one. Nobody should be elected in a primary. That's absolutely disgusting when they do that.
I know.
And then all it means is if you've only got two people, then they go to the general. You don't have, they're not on the primary ballot. They go to the general. It's really that simple.
Exactly.
It's not complicated to figure it out because it alienates too many people, and it's just wrong. Everybody should be able to participate in the system. You know, they're worried about giving the illegals right to vote, but they don't want to give. They don't want to do anything to protect the Americans who are in the process. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And we have to, we definitely have to push much more discussion about not electing people in primaries. A primary is not supposed to be that type of an election. It just isn't. That's not the intent.
Yeah, they usurp the Constitution. They usurp the Constitution by doing it this way, you know?
Yeah. How many ways do we violate the Constitution every day? How many ways do these scumbags, whatever you want to call them, violate the Constitution every day? It's just absolutely disgusting. So, okay, I see another caller out here. Let's go ahead and just get them to join in. 8933. Can we get your first name, please?
This is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Okay, so this is I've called Joe's show a couple times, you know. But here's the deal. We got to be careful with this. It's a good, the Supreme Court ruling is a good ruling, but they left it open for the, we gotta make sure we keep the House of Representatives, you know? And because if we don't, if it flips Democrat, then the Democrats will pass legislation and declare him an insurrectionist and hold another false, impeachment and try to impeach him again. Yeah. So.
Yep.
So and try to get him out of office. So we got to do whatever we can do to keep the House of Representatives. I don't care if you think your guy is a rhino. It's better to have a rhino than a Democrat.
Well, that's the part where at times I'm not real sure, because tell me that when you get down to the difference, and the perfect example of what's happening with these Republicans, okay, Omar, who's obviously an international agent for Somalia, whatever else, she's not there on behalf of Americans. She's still there. While the one guy, Santos, they got rid of, and then there was somebody else they were going to get rid of, they'll get rid of their own for something much less, but having a foreign agent in there voting against America for this other stuff, that's okay. I mean, what, you might as well have a Democrat there. What's the difference? What's the difference? Because so many of these Republicans don't do any – you go back, you really have to go back and look at their voting. And this is why, I mean, if we – I mean, I understand the lesser of two evils. I am so sick of the lesser of two evils. Can we actually have a Congress that's not evil and not compromised? Is that possible, or will hell freeze over first? Because it may be that hell will freeze over first, because it's just absolutely that disgusting. But I understand what you're saying, and that's the way. And it was, I think it was Matt Gaetz on Steve Bannon or whatever, where he was going. He said the bad part is you have people who will just go right down that ballot, they're just voting for a party. They have no idea who they're voting for. So that is why, as I've said many times before on this show, this is why Republicans are stupid and Democrats are smart. A Democrat will run as a Republican. Then they get elected because they had an R by their name. Then they go into Congress, and they are what they are. They're a Democrat, communist, whatever you want to call them. So do you truly have two parties in Congress now? But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm not truly dismissing it. I'm just frustrated we can't have any honest, decent people to represent us. Go ahead.
To your point, I think Dan Bongino has put it together, put it succinctly. He says, all Republicans are Democrats, but all Democrats aren't Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. Democrats are Democrats. Republicans are Democrats.
Right.
That's the truth. That's the deal.
But again, I don't – the guy who represents me in the House is a guy that is a – I don't like him very much, but I'd rather – because he's a McCarthy guy – but I'd rather have him than a Democrat, all right? Because I know what Democrats will do. You know, but basically, this guy that's my representative, yeah, he'll vote for mostly, you know, he'll vote for low taxes and all this stuff, a lot of the Republican usual stuff, you know, he'll vote for, except he had been for McCarthy, which I don't like McCarthy, but I'd rather have him than in my district than a Democrat. All right, that's my only point with this thing. There's some people that you would rather have than a Democrat, you know, because
yes,
we know what
the
Democratic Party is not the Democrat Party of the past. It's not even a Democrat Party of, you know, of Bill Clinton, when Bill Clinton was president. I mean, that show we were on on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was, you know, and we were arguing with these mean chicks, and Joe knows who I'm talking about, and we were trying to get it through to them about abortion and all this stuff, and they didn't want to hear it, and it's like they're very liberal, they're very socialist, they're very communist, you know, and all that stuff, and that's the way that whole party is.
Okay,
I mean,
when you allow
Bernie Sanders to run for your nomination for president, yeah, they bought him off to get him out of the race, but they did allow him to run for it. You're socialist, you're communist, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Were you going to say something, Joe? Go ahead.
Yeah, last night we were on a show, and we came across another podcast show, a new one. I've never heard it before, but they were die-hard Democrat liberals, and let me tell you, they were solid about their points. I mean, they were strong about them, and you know how sometimes they talk off the wall, Democrats, but they were really solid on their points, and wacky, you know, that abortion is okay. They denied it, that Virginia had a fantasize a policy there where you can abort right up to the birth of the child. They said illegal immigration is a non-existent problem. You know, I mean, they were just yelling at me, arguing with me for an hour straight. It was just insane, you know. I mean, and they hate us. They hate Republicans. They hate us.
And you think of all the brainwashing and the stuff that's happened to make people have that kind of hate. I don't think people are born hating anybody. It's all what you are done. And truthfully, if we go back through the history of the Democrat Party has always been the Communist Party. That's what they've always been. But because there was that short time when they had the Kennedy Democrats, which were much more conservative, John F. Kennedy could never get elected today by the Democrats, just like Robert F. Kennedy can't get into their party today. So when you see about the Democrat Party had its own transition there for a short time,
mm-hmm.
but it's all back to where it truly was. What the Democrat Party is what it truly has always been. It's always been.
It was just amazing.
It really
was just amazing, though, that last night, you know, it's like we're sitting there and this one woman was talking about, well, it's my body, you know, and all that stuff. No, it's not your body. Once that baby begins to grow in your body, you're a symbiote. You know, you share the body. It's not just your body, you know. So, you know, and, you know, it is what it is with those people. And that's the thing. These Democrats, you know, when you have people like AOC and Squad and, you know, and Bernie Sanders and all these people, and hell, even Obama, you can make the argument that Obama is a communist or a socialist, you know?
He's a communist, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And Obama's Obama didn't start the program that's being followed here, but he's definitely a big part of it. He was able to get away with it because if you said anything bad about what Obama was doing, you were a racist. I mean, it's that simple. You couldn't challenge his nationality, his being a natural-born citizen. You couldn't challenge that because that made you a racist. Mm-hmm. We can never deal with the truth anymore. Americans can't and this all goes back to some of the stuff that Karen was saying, free speech. We have totally become a police state in so many ways. The Steve Baker, that's definitely a political prisoner to the max. So we've done so much, we can't have an open discussion about anything anymore. It's all, and this truly comes from that root of communist people takeover. I mean, to me.
Right. We couldn't even call him by his middle name. We couldn't call him Barack Hussein Obama.
Exactly. He didn't want that on the ballot because he was afraid somebody would not vote for him for it because they might know much more about him, what his real background is and everything else. And that he's not an American. He's not a natural born American, and he's black and white. He's got a white mother and a black father. He's both, but it's because of his color of his skin, you couldn't say anything against him. And how many sick Americans, and this is, let me just mention this one thing real quick because I think it's important on talking about Obama. How many sick Americans voted for Obama because we want to be part of history? We want to say we elected the first black president. Won't that make us wonderful? That was why they voted for him, because he was black. They didn't vote. He had only been in the Senate for, what, 2 or 3 years? He hadn't been in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And that was, he hadn't, you know, whatever he did in Chicago, was a community organizer. Oh, don't we love them? Yeah, they do so much good for us. So, but the mentality, unfortunately, the sick mentality of so many Americans, they voted for him because he was black, not because they knew anything of what he would do or anything else, which is really pretty sick. Go ahead.
Feels good.
Yeah.
That's Mike? All it is.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the deal with that guy. I mean, look, I've been here on Blog Talk for a decade or more. You know, and at one point there was this woman on Blog Talk called Terry O'Brien, who from Chicago, and she was one of the first ones to bring up the fact that he is not a natural-born citizen, an Article II natural-born citizen. All right, that's what that is. You know,
yeah.
Both
and
parents
right now
have
you.
To be-
Yeah, well, that's the other part. Right now, most people don't even know what a natural-born citizen is. They don't understand the history of when the country was formed, that you weren't going to have Putin come over and and start having kids to take over the whatever. You know, the whole idea why you had to be a natural-born, or Putin couldn't come over here and run. There was a reason why you had to show a loyalty to this country, not to some other. And most people just don't have. And people tell me, well, if you're born on U.S. soil, you're a natural born citizen, and that's not what it is.
No.
How many people, if you go out there any day, what percentage of the people, if you were to ask them out there just on the street, you know, what is what's a natural born citizen? They'll say somebody born in America.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, Nikki Haley is not a natural born citizen.
Correct.
All right. Her parents had not taken the test before she was born. I don't think what's his name that's
Rubio.
Hanging around with Trump right now.
Who's hanging around with Trump, but Rubio is not a natural born.
No.
His parents were here legally in the States, but they were not citizens. They were not citizens when he was born, so he's not a natural born citizen either. Not really.
No, Ramaswamy.
Most people think because he was born here.
They're anchored.
No, Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy, that's the one I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
he's not.
Go ahead.
There are a number of people. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Ted Cruz. All right.
No, not.
You know, I'm not.
He's not.
And probably my former governor, Bobby Jindal. You know?
Yeah, that's probably true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so there are a number of people that aren't – but, again, once you allow a non-natural born citizen to run and win the president, that's out of the window. They broke the Constitution.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, when it came to Obama, they kept trying to say that he was natural born. They kept trying to say he was born in Hawaii and to whatever. I mean, they played so many games with it. So they never admitted that they didn't say, yeah, we know he's not natural born, but we're going to go for it anyway. So I don't think so. But, of course, if people are too ignorant and clueless as to what it even means, where do you go from there? Once again, what part of our Constitution are we following these days? Very little.
Yeah.
And then you have these other nutcases out there with the Convention of States wanting to overturn the whole thing, which is really scary. Joe, did you want to say anything else? I thought I heard you kind of chiming in a little bit there.
No. I was just commenting about the thing. You know, bottom line is, look, none of us are – look, we changed the wording of the Constitution, you know, and we became not citizens but residents. You know, we're not lawful. It's not a lawful government system we have anymore. Until we go back in history and correct the defuncted problem, the problem where it started, because everything else is we're just trying to fix things and we can't fix it because we're living a lie, you know, based on a lie. Just like our money, it's debt-based money. It's a receipt. It's note. It's not money, you know. So if we continue to live the lie, how could we possibly fix things how do you fix a lie? How do you fix a lie? What do you got to do? You know, you got to go back and correct the problem. You got to recognize that it was a lie.
It was a lie, and then trying to deprogram and re-educate people who have been so brainwashed over how many years now. That, I think, is the biggest challenge, even though we see some are waking up now. Go ahead.
A long time, Sally. You know, look. Since the Reconstruction Act, and very quickly after that, the Federal Reserve took over our monetary system, and then they crashed the economy. Then they blew up the World Trade Centers. You know, we can go on and on and on. But the problem is, when do we got to go back and fix things. We got to go back and recognize the mistakes we've made, correct them, and then go and move on from there. But I don't think we got the people anymore in this country that really care, that really want to fix anything, because we have people that are not real Americans. They're anchor babies, you know? So they don't really care.
Anchor babies and a generation of brainwashed people through public education and the disgust of that. And then whatever it is for some people, the Soros, you know, I guess the ultimate comes down to core beliefs that greed. If you ever had any doubt that greed, between greed and power, are the root of all evil, you just have to look at our government, because that is, They will sell us out for a dime, and I mean that's what in the Blood Money book from Peter Schweizer. It's just, and I haven't got the book yet, to be honest. I've heard him talk about it, and I've done some basic information on it, start researching, but I haven't got the book. It's just been released. But when you hear, you know, these facts, and he's backs them up, and nobody comes back and challenges him to say that's not true. Nobody goes and says, no, what he's reporting in that book is not true. And this is what these people have become. We've allowed these people to become their own kings and queens and the elitist, and they just trash us, and they will do anything. This insider trading stuff, weren't they just talking about how was talking about it, how much money Nancy Pelosi has made through the market? And that's going to be one of the questions. You know, if you're going to be in Congress, you should not insider trading is illegal even for you in Congress. Yeah, go ahead.
I got a question. How would I address that issue that we talked about earlier about, because you're dead set against that, the primaries, not selecting their candidate, but have to go to the general election. I asked many people, even Sarge, and nobody will give me a straight answer. You know, how would you go about combating that? I mean, how is it unconstitutional? We know it's unconstitutional, but how? I can't figure it out.
Well, when it comes to at the federal level with the presidency, I think it definitely would be considered unconstitutional there. But on the other offices, I think a lot of that I do think is at a state level. The states are given an awful lot of right to set times and places for election kind of stuff. So I really do believe it has to be handled at the state level. The state has to change.
Discrimination,
because not
baby.
Every state has
discrimination.
What's that?
Right?
Yeah.
Discrimination, maybe. Discriminating against, you know, because there's a whole group of party and people that are not allowed to vote. That's discrimination.
And that,
well, yeah,
if we could find a constitutional attorney out there who would challenge the fact that we have surrendered the rights to our ballot box to two political parties, which is the underlying problem. Right now, the two when this goes, the bigger part is how the electors for the presidency are picked, and the two parties control that. But then ultimately, the two parties control who is on the ballot because of the primary process and stuff like that. Anything to do with the parties on the ballot are, to me, is unconstitutional. We should not have private entities controlling it. That is, if we could find a constitutional attorney who would really take a look and challenge it. And, you know, you may, even if it got challenged to some degree, maybe it would get to the Supreme Court, whatever. It would bring the awareness that people need to understand what a large percentage of people are totally excluded from this process because they don't want to be part of the slimy political parties, which that's what they are. They're slime. They're scumbags, whatever, you know, the whores of the system. And yet my tax dollars are going to support the crap that they're doing instead of it being we the people. So it's absolutely disgusting. The parties have been there forever, and there's been disputes and Washington had it right, and it was even some other things being discussed over the weekend, like talking about factions. The parties, political parties are factions, but they're not the only ones. They've got all the associations and factions. This is what they're doing. They're doing everything they can to divide us. Political parties to divide us. What's that?
Yeah, convention of states, they had the big meetings this weekend. You know, I didn't
Oh,
go.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
So...
No,
when I got a text message, Sally, I got a text message that said they endorsed my opponent for the election. When they said that to me, I kind of like disemboweled, you know, like, get out of here, you know. That guy slapped me in the face, you know.
and I would go back and ask why. Why do they why are they endorsing this person over you? And I mean, if they're willing to do it, they ought to be able to say why. Is it because of the how much they follow the Constitution or how much they don't?
Speaking, you know, and Sally, speaking of endorsements, that was my point about I had a point that I continued before they decided to get rid of McDaniel over there at the RNC, you know, and put, you know, there's a guy from, I believe, North Carolina plus Laura Trump that's going to be the head of the RNC, the co-heads of the RNC right now. But when Ronald McDaniel was there and what's his name, and Trump would endorse somebody, okay, for, let's just say, Trump endorses Joe Gibson for the district, the house, the U.S. House district that he lives in, right? Okay. Well, generally what would happen if the guy didn't like Joe Gibson doesn't get the money to help him get elected to the House of Representatives. That's how things work. Even though Trump, who is the de facto leader of the party, endorses Joe, he doesn't get the money and he doesn't get elected. And that's what was going on. That's one of the reasons why we didn't have a bigger, other than the fact that she's very corrupt, is Ronna McDaniel. But that was one of the big reasons why we didn't have a bigger thing in the House, you know, a bigger...
Yeah, 2022. Yeah, she did it, but she's related to Mitt Romney. And the thing is, they had two other people, Mike Lindell and then what's her name, the other lady, that were running for that spot for the Republican Party. And who did Trump endorse? I want someone to explain to me why Trump endorsed McDaniel. Karen, are you saying something?
Yeah, Hermie Fulman is the one who was running against.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and either her or Lindell would have been a thousand times better than Ronna. But Trump endorsed Ronna. So what game was Trump playing? Who was in the art of the deal? Why was he doing that? when she's related to Mitt Romney, who hates Trump and is doing everything he can to not get him elected.
Somebody must have been giving him advice to endorse Ron McDaniel. His choice was a poor choice to take that advice. But again, you know, in his first election, he was kind of naive. You know, he should never have picked. Mike Pence as his vice president. But the guys, you got to pick somebody from the country club. You know, that type of thing, right? Republicans.
The establishment. They're going with the establishment people. These are the establishment people, which you are, in fact, the enemies, whether any Republican wants to admit that. And McCarthy was an establishment person. I mean, really, McCarthy, for everything he did, he was 95% Democrat, you know, and yet people, mm-hmm. because he was a good fundraiser, we're going to let him be it because he can raise money. We don't care what he does once he gets there. Which luckily Matt Gaetz and a few did, but and then what did McCarthy do? McCarthy, because he's so loyal to America and cares so much, he goes and resigns before his term, and then of course I don't know if they actually got anybody else to replace him yet, but there would be in all likelihood another Democrat. So that's McCarthy. McCarthy cares so much about America that he'll sell America out because they didn't want him. The rhino to make the decisions. And he could have gone on and continued raising his money wherever he wanted to. So now he's raising money against the MAGA people. This is what McCarthy is. This is what Republicans are.
That's the thing, Sally. Think about it. This is a guy, he's from the LA area, right? Los Angeles. So he's not from the red areas of California. There are red areas in California, all right? He's not from those areas. He's from L.A. So what do you think you're going to get with him, even though he's a Republican?
Well, there's been some good Republicans out of California, but not many, at least not in the last decade. I would agree with that. But why did the Republicans put him in as the speaker, which we know there was a major battle to not do that? So why did they put him in? Just like why did the senators put McConnell in as the leader of the Senate? I mean, come on. Well, tell me, what's the difference between these Republicans and the Democrats?
Money.
Why did they?
Okay. Yeah, Karen. Yeah, of course, money, which goes back to blood money. These people are there for the money. They're not there for us. And that's why we have to. That is why we have to start a process. The term limits is what should have been done, but we have to fire Congress every time. And you know, if you mean to tell me we can't find a decent person to run as a Republican in these offices, but you got to get past all the money, all the corruption, the corrupt elections, election fraud to the
you
max.
Can, you can, but they shut them down at the local level.
Okay, I heard two people. Joe, go first. I couldn't quite hear two people were talking. Joe?
Okay. Well, they shut them down. They shut them down, Sally, and from the local level before they even rise up. A lot of these good people, you know, start like me. You know, I jump and throw my ring my hat in the ring. Look what they do automatically. Look at the hurdles I'm going to have to overcome now for the rest of my life if I decide to stay in politics. Nazi. You know, I mean, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. They ruined my name.
Yeah, and that's the sad truth. And because we've allowed them to be in there for so long, how do we exterminate or clean out Roto-Rooter, the cesspool, whatever? It's definitely not going to be easy. I don't know. But if we don't figure a way to get some decent people in there, and you know that's another thing. If you're going to be in there, we need people who are truly willing to make constitutional amendments through Congress. Which means insider trading is illegal.
of
things, which that could be a law versus a constitutional amendment. But there needs to be some serious constitutional amendments to get rid of some of this corruption we've got, which is having two parties do it. But trying to undo it, trying to unwind how many years of this garbage going on, it's not going to be easy. And we do see an uprising now. We the MAGA people. to me are the true Americans. They're the ones that actually have some belief in what this Constitution and what this Republic is supposed to be. And if we cannot get enough of those people there, then we'll have no country. So it won't matter. It truly won't matter because we will have been sold over totally to the CCP or whoever else. I mean, between the different cultures taking over. Yeah, go ahead.
When Trump said drain the swamp, okay, maybe he was able to pull the drain plug, but he really didn't know how deep the swamp was. I mean, you can pull the drain plug, and it'd be draining, but you won't be able to see the effects of the drain because it's so deep, right? So, I mean, they're talking about, if he gets in there, is he going to take vengeance on people? Well, I'm all for that because they've been after him since he came down the escalator. If that is the type of vengeance they say is, okay, we're going to fire everybody at the FBI. We're going to fire everybody at the IRS. We're going to get rid of the IRS. We're going to fire everybody at the CIA.
I personally don't think it's wise to make those kind of broad statements to that degree. But what should be being said is we are going to hold people accountable and we're going to clean up the process. We are not going to let the corruption continue on. To me, one of the biggest things that, and Trump does say it now more than what he did in the past, because he talks about this is your country, this isn't theirs, this is your country. And he says, we together will do this. I wish he would promote more that even today, you need to contact your representatives about what they're doing and their senators. You need to be engaged and communicate with them because the president can't do everything. Abuse of executive orders is another problem we have. So the president can't do everything. I do see another caller out here. Let's see. Let me try to get this other call. You go ahead while I'm getting ready to open the line for him.
You're absolutely correct. The president cannot make all the decisions. He's not a king,
Let me amend my statement, Sally, about firing everybody. No, don't fire everybody at the CIA, FBI, whatever. Fire the leadership because that's the people that have been after you for the longest. The guys like Brennan and Clapper and all these people that have been after him. What's her name that's still there? What's the woman's name that's still at the CIA, still head of the CIA? I'm blanking on her name now. But fire him. Not only fire them, but take away their pensions and take away their top secret clearances so that they cannot make money by writing books or being on CNN or MSNBC. Do that.
Well, man, people need to stop buying the books of these politicians, too. They go there to get rich. They don't go there to go to represent. It's a self-serving greed. Unfortunately, way too many. They're not all that way. I'll just say 95% are. Like I said, there's a small handful of those that really have earned the right to be there. The majority haven't. They've done everything against us. I do want to make sure that we mention, because I think I skipped over this earlier, and then I'm going to go to the other caller there. When it comes to the invasion of this country, this is something people need to be taking action on now, and, of course, it's one of the key questions for the candidates. Stop funding the NGOs. They have proven how much non-governmental organizations our tax dollars are going to pay for human trafficking and giving money to these groups. It's absolutely despicable. And I've got a link in reference to that, too, how much money is going to these places. NGOs, non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, they kind of go hand in hand. There's nonprofits that aren't the same as these type of organizations. But the whole point is, whenever you say nonprofit, non-government organization, that gives them leeway to take money from all sources, do the evil deeds and whatever else. That crap all has to be shut down. Do you think you got any Republicans that are willing to do that? Do you truly think any Republican will do anything to shut down those NGOs? I'm hearing more talk about it, so there's definitely more awareness going on out there, just like the garbage with COVID. So more information, and yet that's why they're so intent on putting a gag order on all of us, trying to shut down the free press. Okay, 8091, can we get your first name, please?
Hey, this is Boyd. How you doing, Sally?
Hey, Boyd. I should have known that. I kept saying I recognize that number, but why don't I see who that is? Okay. Yep.
I'm up here in all this white crap that you guys don't know anything about, and I got on all my white camouflage, so I look like a polar bear, and you just can't see me.
Okay, you're white. Well, any comments on any of the discussions? How many people are in Congress do you think are worth reelecting?
Let me see. Can I throw out a negative number?
Negative number. Not sure how that would work in it. I'm firing the people there.
The one thing I was going to say, you know, with Trump supposedly draining the swamp, you know. Well, he didn't get the swamp drained, at least not in his first term. But what he did do is he got the water lowered enough in the swamp that we could see the creatures. You know, if you remember before Trump came into office, none of us were really talking like this, you know, because we didn't know, we didn't see. They were all well camouflaged in their underwater, you know, and in behind all the swamp grass and everything, you know.
No, well, some of us, including myself, and I know Karen, I've called it a cesspool. Yeah, call it a swamp. A swamp really actually does some good things if you know what swamps are. Of course, they also have gators in them too. So here in Florida, if you're going to go play in the swamp, you might come across a gator. But a cesspool is pure sewage.
I stand corrected, and I apologize to the swamp. You know.
Well,
I didn't mean to be derogatory to the swamp. You know, yes, it is Washington, D.C. is a cesspool. You know.
Yes, much more of a cesspool.
Trump lowered the water enough in the cesspool that we could start seeing turds floating around in there.
You don't smell the stench, then there's probably something else wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, a lot more, you know, and confirmed a lot that we were all talking about prior to him getting elected, but we really couldn't put our fingers. But we really couldn't put our fingers on it. But
finish that sentence, and I want to mention about the Tea Party. Go ahead.
But since Trump was there, we have gotten a better picture of the enemy.
And I will agree with that a lot. And I don't. It's been so obvious, blatantly obvious, of what they have done, because he was giving us our rights back. He was giving rights back to the people, and all of a sudden, these other morons are saying, "Wait a minute, you can't do that." But I will say this: truly, the Tea Party movement from a few years back was a beginning of it. But even then, at that point, sorry, I'm going to go back to the Republicans. These people saying, well, you have to vote for the Republican. You have to vote for the Republican. And it was McConnell. He was determined to destroy the Tea Party movement. McConnell.
Yes.
And the only thing I can say that I've ever known McConnell did right was his pushback on the justices, the Supreme Court justice. Outside of that, I can't tell you anything McConnell has ever done for the American people. And he did that. I personally don't think he would have done that then had it not been the fact he was desperate for Trump's endorsement. Because he would not have got reelected had it not been for Trump endorsing him. And then as soon as that was over and he was out there, he was after Trump for the insurrection of Jan 6 and a total flip-flop. The guy is evil. He's a communist. He's going to rot someplace someday. And he, like I said, it's all fake. When he stood there on several occasions, totally brain dead, staring into the camera, that's when you said that was the chance. Okay, you need to step aside and let somebody else take over this role. And that's what they should still do now. But they're so afraid of the money. When one person in the Senate can have that, and this isn't even the president. This is the second one, minority leader. When they can have that much control, what kind of government do you have? Those people don't work for us. They work for themselves. They work for him. It's so disgusting. But he was determined to take down the Tea Party, and he was very successful in doing it. Money, influence through the elections, and so people were starting to wake up then. And I think it's continued since then. It's just Trump got the accelerator going, where people were getting hit upside the head with what they're doing. They're going to force you to drive an EV that's going to get you stuck out in the frozen snow out there, and for no reason. And the EVs are not in any way, shape, or form safer for the environment. Anybody that thinks they are doesn't know. They haven't done their homework. But it is. It's a way to limit our movement. It's a way to control people. Everything they do is to control people, where Trump was empowering people. Totally opposite, and these people don't like it, and that's why they're going to do whatever they can, all the lawsuits, all the insanity, to try to stop him. And he, even through COVID, he was going to get reelected until they played the games with the ballot box and the who counts the ballots, the corruption there. Mm-hmm. And some Joe, I'm going to go back to something Joe said too, because you were talking about what we were doing to clean this up. I don't know how many counties I lost track, but Mike Lindell has gotten different things passed in counties, a lot of counties across this country, where they're going to do paper ballots and manual counts. That is a major, major success, but we need more of it. And it's really sickening to think that the state of Florida, the freedom state, is blocking a manual count of the ballots. Everybody else.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Two things
Who's
that have happened here.
It?
I mean,
who's mostly blocking it? Who is blocking it? Who?
Our legislature. Karen, you go ahead. You can give.
The president
Karen.
Of the Senate and the chairs of the committees. So they played a game. The bill in the House, and they won't pass it in the Senate. They won't recognize it. They won't let it come to the floor. Or they'll pass the bill in the Senate, and they won't recognize it in the House and won't let it come to the floor. We had four bills, one of them addressing citizenship, one of them addressing being able to use the manual count, being able to use paper ballots, being able to manage the drop boxes, and
oh, that was another
one
thing last night. They're against voter ID laws, the Democrats. They're dead set against voter ID.
Well, so is Florida.
We have voter
That's
ID
what,
laws.
Florida is too. Florida. Go ahead, Karen. Go ahead.
We have
Karen.
Voter ID. That you have to have, but nobody checks citizenship. When you bring a student ID to your your SOE, and they accept that as who you are, that doesn't have whether or not you're a citizen, and then all you have to do is check a little box, and nobody goes and looks to see if you have been telling the truth, which we all know the illegals are going to lie. And
the one that may pass,
and that's a may, is the one where the DMV can change your status as to party affiliation. So that one they may, because enough senators, I think it was senators and representatives, had a problem because constituents were calling them and saying, we can't vote for you. We went to the SOE to vote, and we were told that we are no party affiliate. So apparently the Department of Motor Vehicles was changing people's registration when they went to change their driver's license and left the part that says party affiliate blank. They would fill in no party affiliate. So Florida has some horrific voter integrity laws that they did not change.
Yeah, and when it comes to the driver's license, the DMV should have nothing to do with your party affiliation. So that was playing a game right there. And then the other part, and I'm telling you, go to Jackson County Supervisor Elections website, Jackson County, Florida Supervisor Elections website, and on someplace on there where it talks about voter identification, look at the list of what is acceptable. That's why I mentioned this earlier. It's listed out there. It was last week. Was out there, a debit or credit card is proof of citizenship. How is a debit
Get
or credit
here.
Card proof of citizenship? Go out there and look. I'm telling you. Go out there and look. So, and then going back to what Karen was talking about on the counting, we tried, they have it specified that you must use electronic tabulators to calculate the vote. That means we have to use a corruptible machine. We're not even allowed to have an audit of a manual count. We wanted them to say the counties have the right. It should have been up to the counties to say that they would use either a manual count or a paper, a manual count or the tabulator. But in either case, you should always have the right to do a manual count for an audit. There's no way to audit an election in the state of Florida with this garbage. So this is why when people think Florida is all wonderful, they've played a lot of games too. But that's at the state level. They're the ones doing it, not D.C. This is the cesspool in Tallahassee.
Well, again, here's the thing. One, the name I was looking for earlier, Sally, was Gina Haspel, who's currently now the head of the CIA, who was on the London desk of the CIA during the whole thing with the dossier and stuff like that. But that's not the point. The point I want to make here is Louisiana is one of the states that is going to go to a hand count, paper ballot. So it's going to be statewide, and it's going to be even in the bluer parishes. Bluer parishes. So that's one of the states, Louisiana is one of the states that has done that. And we already have in Louisiana voter ID laws. Everybody has to have a driver's license or a state ID. I don't drive, so I have the old state ID, you know.
If they don't qualify it, Florida does that too, a driver's license or a state ID. But the fact of the matter is that doesn't prove anything because they don't check to see that you're a citizen. The fact that you can say you're a citizen, but then there's no validation. So whatever's on that driver's license for true, if you're really trying to qualify somebody as a citizen, means nothing. And again, Karen can talk to that much more than I can because she saw it firsthand. So it's given the at one point it meant something because illegals couldn't have a driver's license. But since we now give illegals driver's licenses, nothing else is ever done. So if you have a driver's license, it's okay. You must be legal. You must be an American because you have a driver's license. No. No. And I think that's true with most states. I don't think that's strictly Florida. But Florida, they go around and act like they've done all this stuff. It's just a lie. It's another fraud against the people. It's absolutely disgusting.
But that's really the thing. What needs to happen is like California that have decided to give the illegals either the state ID or flat out a driver's license. You know, New York, California, all these liberal states that have done that, even if the conservative states or whatever say no, we're not going to do it, well, they'll just go get a driver's license from California and move to California and do it that way. Now, granted, they're trying to set up these cities and these illegal immigrant cities like Colony Ridge, Texas, in every state in the union. All right.
Yep.
You know, so, and I've always said about that, that city, Colony Ridge, Texas, and if Gunslinger were here, he could talk about it, but that city, Colony Ridge, Texas, every one of those people in that city is an illegal. So what you do is you go, you arrest the entire city, you take them out, and you raise that city to the ground.
Exactly. Karen, you were going to say something. I see it looks like John, I'll go to you in just a minute there. And just one very quick comment before you say anything, Karen. Mark Meckler was head of the Tea Party and also head of the Convention of States. And, you know, I there was a lot of games going on with the Tea Party, too. But it was I say the Tea Party was a beginning to try to get more people engaged in what the process was. And the Tea Party was definitely up there fighting Obamacare, because I was there at that time. So I remember I was on the Hill.
When I was involved in the Tea Party, I was pretty, pretty active on the Tea Party and stuff. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Meckler is a snake in the grass.
Yeah,
he is one of the ones that helped split up Tea Party and make it so we wouldn't work with each other. So you can kiss him in the ass, as far as I'm concerned.
He, the enemy from within, he definitely is. I've watched him talk about this stuff, and I've seen other garbage. Absolutely. Karen, sorry, I got to go. I was going back to Karen. You were going to say something else there?
Oh, there is supposed to be your real ID, which is why they use the driver's license, is that little yellow star that if you are a citizen, that star will be there. If you're not, then there's no star. That's what I was told. And the illegals don't get a star. Now, you tell me how many people know that.
Nobody. They just see a driver's license, and that's all there is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
In places like California, where they have their motor voter registration, you know, shit, get a driver's license, you're registered to vote.
Well, that's what they do in all of the states now. But in Florida, what they were doing is when you go to change your address, to say, on your driver's license, because you moved, there's a box there and it says party affiliation, of which nobody knows why it should be on your driver's license. But if you fill out other or I don't want to fill it out, then it automatically put you in no party affiliates. And when people were going to vote in the primary because they didn't check to see if they were registered, they were told that they couldn't vote because they were no party affiliate. And then if you remember in the beginning of the year, they were talking about how many people were registered and how the Republicans were superseding the Democrats. But then the third block was 50% of the people were no party affiliates. Well, that was the reason why. So I believe that is the only bill that addresses election integrity that we were able to get addressed. And that, I did not see whether it passed the Senate. It should, well, it has to be this week, but it's nothing. Because this is the end, this is the last week of the Florida session. But I didn't get a notification from tracking whether or not it had passed, so it still may have to be heard. But that was the only one.
Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. Just to let everybody know, we've got about 15 minutes left on the internet. We'll run a few minutes over. It won't be a full hour tonight. So if you're listening online, just be aware. You may need to either call in or you'll play back some of it later. Let's see. I see John out there. Let's see. Hopefully he hasn't left the building. I've left him waiting out there a little while. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What are you thinking about all this insanity with the elections? And what do you think about the rhinos, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, the main thing to remember is what an incredibly criminal human Joe Biden is.
Yeah.
And it is so obvious to everybody now. All he does is lie, cheat, and steal. He's lied, cheat, and stolen for 50 years. Nobody steals like Joe Biden. He's an institution. And he's got everybody up there lying for him.
Yep.
And yep. His son is a chip off the old block.
Yes, absolutely.
And everything he does proves that he does not give a damn about America. Now that's becoming perfectly clear.
Well, he's a puppet. He's a puppet. He doesn't have any clue what's going on, but he's always been lousy as a, and he's never been too smart from anything I've ever seen in the past.
He's
always been a racist,
been
even though nobody wants
to
talk about
president.
That. What's that?
He's never been smart enough to be president.
Or vice president.
And the people, in 50 years, the people have never let him get to first base running for president.
The only way
he's gotten there is a party puppet.
Exactly.
And here we
are
in this mess because of this low-life scum and his entire family.
Who do you think is really the president now? I mean, I personally happen to believe Obama's pulling all the strings and all this other garbage. He's continuing on the plan that Hillary was supposed to do when she was supposed to be elected back, Hillary Clinton. But I think Obama is, and isn't he the one who's really running? They're feeding Joe what he needs to do. I don't think he's doing anything on his own. You can't remember.
I believe that Obama is definitely directing traffic for them. And they have an agenda to bring down this country.
They do. They're absolutely
what they're doing right now.
They are.
So
and
unless
so many...
we get serious and win this next election, we're in deep trouble.
It's absolutely the dumbing down of so many people who just follow a party. The people who are is kind of like some of the things we talked about earlier. Okay, so what is it about Trump you don't like? I just don't like him. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his Twitter crap or whatever. They don't. So what are you better off today than you were when Trump was there? Yes. Why? I don't know. I love paying more money for gas. I mean, stupid things like that. They can't really justify anything they say. They've been so brainwashed that somehow the Democratic Party cares about the working class, which is totally false. Before anybody else says anything, I want to make sure I comment on one little thing out here because I know this chat, people listening out there are going to go away in a few minutes. Merkler, why would he feel that to split the Tea Party up is a good thing? Well, I think it's perfectly obvious because he didn't want a real movement. The Tea Party was getting too much, and it was the Tea Party would not be the supporters of the Convention of States. That to me is my reason to believe it because Merkler is not he's a traitor. He's a treasonous traitor as far as I'm concerned. I don't put any kind of ethics or integrity to what he says. Now, I've seen him on Steve Dace and other shows, blah, 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 blah. But what he's saying about the Convention of States is not true. They can change the rules. This is what people don't understand about the Convention of States. They might go in there with these, say, oh, we're going to address these two things. Well, wait a minute. The whole idea of a convention of states is to be able to readjust and reset the country. So that means they can go in and say, well, you know, actually, we have this other constitution, which many say Meckler already has out there. Meckler has someplace out there with the help of George Soros. Oh, by the way, somebody tried to tell me George Soros isn't funding or assisting the convention of states. Yeah, he is. Anybody that's saying George Soros isn't part of the convention of states is either misinformed or trying to BS somebody else, that kind of thing. So yeah, Meckler, Convention of States, all garbage. Stay away. It's evil. It's treason. They're the insurrectionists.
Meckler
yeah,
did it because there was, Meckler was the way and is the way he is because a lot of the Tea Party groups out there weren't going to follow him word for word and drool at his feet, you know. A lot of us had different ideas, and he would not listen to the other ideas from other parties and everything. And, yeah, he split up an awful lot of groups on the Internet that I know of.
Yeah,
in fact,
right.
I've been kicked off of more Tea Party groups than I have anything else.
The Tea Party movement started out as a good thing, but it got corrupted, and it took it down. And the same thing is what they're trying to do now. Different factions are trying to take us down again, trying to take down MAGA. But people have woken up too much. They're not going to be able to take down the MAGA movement like they want to, like they did with the Tea Party.
Now, Sally, I just want to address John and just say this about the people, basically the people who are surrounding Biden right now in his so-called administration. Look at most of those people. Where'd they come from?
Obama.
They came from Obama. Obama.
Yep.
I mean, all you got to do is just look straight at the current so-called AG.
Yep.
That guy, they still believe he should be on the Supreme Court.
Thank God he's not.
Thank God he's not.
Yep.
He is a mean, nasty, bitter man, you know. He's bitter because, I think I should be on the Supreme Court, and I should have been rubber stamped, and you weren't. You got to give it. We may not like the turtle, Mitch McConnell, but at least he did his job in not putting that guy on the Supreme Court, keeping him as far away from the Supreme Court as possible, you know?
And that's what I say. That's the only thing I can say McConnell ever did right when it came to the Supreme Court justices. That's the only thing. I'm looking to see if there was anything else that I really can give any respect or consideration to McConnell. And the fact of the matter is he did it because he was desperate for Trump's endorsement. He knew Trump was way ahead of him, and if Trump would have said no and whatever, then he would not have been reelected. Two times McConnell was bailed out. Rand Paul bailed him out once, endorsing him, and then Trump bailed him out the second time. But otherwise, we wouldn't have McConnell in there, and we'd be so much better off if he wasn't in there.
And the thing is, with the Romneys and stuff like that, when he called Mitt Romney a loser, which Mitt Romney is a loser. He lost. He lost his bid to become the president, just like McCain lost his bid to become the president, right? And what did McCain do? he comes back and he thumbs down to the fucking to getting rid of Obamacare, right? You know, so
well,
because Trump called him a loser, you know, which he is a loser.
Well, the Republicans have had every chance. In fact, they when Trump was there, they had a chance to get rid of Obamacare. And what did the Republicans do under Paul Ryan? Paul Ryan, another rhino treasonous traitor out there, who also didn't get elected vice president. But, yeah, it's because you guys were worthless out there. That's why they didn't get elected. So, but look at everything that Paul Ryan did against Trump in the first 2 years. So, and that was Republicans. Republicans are the enemies of Republicans. And I think Joe will agree with that. The Republicans are out because they've been taken over by the Democrat Party. So, you know, it's I guess the mentality is you get the Republicans back in the Senate and the House and the majority, and you just have to hope that you have a couple of them that are honest, because the rest of them are just scumbags. Most of them are scumbags, but you have to hope you have enough to outweigh what would happen on the other side of the way.
I'm not totally happy with my two senators because they voted for some different they want to send money to, you know, across overseas and all that stuff. I'm not totally happy with them. I like them, but I'm not totally happy with them. You know, Ukraine and all that crap. You know, so
yeah.
But that's the thing. We got to. If we can get enough, this is why the House and Senate is important, you know, because if particularly the House, and I said it earlier with this ruling by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court left it open. If the Democrats can flip the House, then they can pass legislation to declare Trump an insurrectionist and run another crappy impeachment against them, right?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. If they can do that, that's why this whole thing with McCarthy and him leaving and them kicking out Santos. I don't like that Santos was a liar, but again, who cares if he's a liar? Because I mean, how many Democrats have been liars? I mean, Joe Biden's a fucking liar.
Please don't say that. No F-bombs on here. I agree to a certain degree. It's like it was wrong. They could have. He wasn't found guilty. Go back to what Matt Gaetz said. Go ahead and charge him with it. Do that, which would have taken time. And whether anything would have happened, it probably would have been towards the end of everything. So you could have done that while not totally taking him out of there and getting him replaced with a Democrat. But the thing that gets me, though, is the Republicans do nothing about Omar. She openly admits that she doesn't care about America. She's there for Somalia. She's a Somalian refugee, thanks to Obama. That's what we have in our Congress, foreign agents. She shouldn't be there. But look at what the Republicans won't do anything about that. Why? Because they'll be called racist or something else, something stupid. But she openly admitted she's there for Somalia. She doesn't care about America. She's openly admitted she's a foreign agent. It's illegal for isn't it unconstitutional for her to be there? Because she's obviously not loyal to America.
To leave also.
Look what these stupid Republicans do. We are getting down to that last minute, so anybody wants to continue listening, remember to call in 347-857-4364. Yeah, go ahead.
Sally?
Who's that, Karen?
Yeah.
I was just going to tell you that
Bill Clinton signed an executive order. Until this executive order was in place, communists and anybody in opposition to the American system could not run for office. And Bill Clinton set that right so anybody could run for office. I can't remember the name.
Clinton did that. Clinton sold off intellectual property to China. The Clinton Foundation knee-deep in the corruption and the treason. The true insurrectionists are all over the place out there. and a lot of them are in the Democrat Party. But then you also have the George H.W. Bush, 103-28, I think is the executive order. That's, okay, anybody can come by U.S. Infrastructure, anybody from the world can come by it. We don't care. They can all come by America. And so he did that. So that's the Republican and the Democrat. Don't you feel safe with both of them?
Right, and that's the thing. That's the reason why the Bushes hate Trump so much is because he took 2016 away from Jeb. You know, 2016
was supposed to be Jeb. They definitely undid some of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. 2016, it was supposed to be Jeb versus Hillary. Now, who would have went out of that battle? I don't know. But that's what it was supposed to have been. It was supposed to have been Clinton versus Bush again. And Trump took it away from Bush, from Jeb. You know, and they hate him for it. Because at one point,
yeah.
I believe H.W. had said at one point, just wait until I unleash my sons on the world. You know, that's what he said. You know, so
well,
there you go.
Karen may want to chime in, too, when it comes to John Ellis Bush, because Common Core and all the crap, what he did with education. But, yeah, Bush, well, either it wouldn't have mattered whether Bush won or Clinton won, Hillary Clinton, because they were on the same page. They're both the New World Order. The Bushes are major globalists. That's what they are. And where did they get their money? Go back and check for Prescott Bush back in the day when they aided Hitler and got the bank up in Connecticut and got all their riches, and then they went down to Texas and became rich down there with the oil wells and whatever else. So I have never voted for Bush, except I will admit one time in the beginning I voted for Jeb, John Ellis Bush, as the governor one time. Didn't do it again. But I never voted for any of the other Bushes for president because they what they truly are. But they were Republicans. So what? We have to vote for a Republican, don't we? Yeah, a communist Republican's better than a communist Democrat. Because the Republican will just the Democrats come at you head on, take you down. Okay, yep, we're coming after you because we don't believe in what you're doing, so we're going to destroy you, and we're going to tell you about it. The Republicans come from behind and stab you in the back. I feel so much better. I was killed from behind versus right face to face. This is the difference between Republicans and Democrats as a very, very general rule. But at the same time, I understand if we let the Democrats take over this time again, it will be even worse. There will be no country. It's really that
I like
simple.
The puppet on the
there
right.
Will be no country.
I like the puppet on the left. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets.
Sally?
Yes.
The Bush tentacles go everywhere. The Bushes are in control, almost, I think, are in control of Florida, you know, and the Bushes are in control of Texas. Think about it. Look at what they tried to do to Ken Paxton over there, you know.
Yeah, well, you're making my point. So there's no argument. I've already said that they are the globalists, the New World Order. It was George H.W. Bush who said a New World Order right on the – and at the time, nobody really thought of what he was meaning when he said a New World Order, when he was the State of the Union address when he said it. But that's what it was. And I guess as we're going to wrap it up here in just a couple of minutes here, but I'm kind of curious – I mean, I knew about Agenda 21 many years ago before I heard that said. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it's been a long time. How many people – when did you first – and I'll kind of go around the table here. I'll just start down the list. Karen, when did you first learn about Agenda 21?
Well, I was teaching in New York, and they were very involved. The teaching was very involved with the United Nations. And it wasn't that it was Agenda 21, but when I went to college, I also majored in liberalism so that I could understand what they were doing. That was my master's degree is in that. And the precursor of that was things like Earth Day and AmeriCorps and all of these socialist programs which they were bringing in. Agenda 21 was in 1991 at the Rio Conference, and George Bush signed it as a an idea. It was never written when they signed it, and it wasn't written until later. And what I remember going to a class, because I also had a lot of postgraduate courses at the New School, because that was John Dewey's New School of Social Research. And that's where all of the socialism was introduced to the teachers of how to teach socialism and how wonderful it was. And I watched as the textbooks began to change from capitalism to socialism, because when I was teaching, I used to look for the older books because they actually had relevant information. The newer textbooks, where everything was environmental this and sustainability that and kumbaya and all the other things, and my focus was always on math, and I watched how the economy was being stripped out of the math books so that the kids would have no idea of how to balance a checkbook, how to do a budget, what interest was about, compound simple interest, things like that. So that by the time when I quit teaching and went into the mortgage industry, I saw the result of not teaching budgeting and mortgages and interest and things like that, as many of the people who were the kids at that time became the adults and went to do something foolish like getting a mortgage for a house they couldn't afford because they didn't understand how to budget. So I used to teach classes on first-time home buying before it was a fad and before it had to be done. So this really started, I would say the teachers were taught this in the 70s, and it began to be implemented in the schools in the 80s, and by the 90s, it was all communism. And that's what they're teaching today.
Yeah. But, Agenda 21, so it was the old Bush clan that went out there, the bushwhackers, that initiated us getting involved with the UN on Agenda 21. And that's who they are. Yeah.
Clinton started with the school to work program, and that was when Shirley McCune from the McReel Foundation in 1989 went to the Governors Association, and this was before Race to the Top and Common Core, because the federal government was not supposed to be involved in curricula. They were only supposed to be managers of programs to dole out money to the states to make sure that they had a such and such program. Mm-hmm. They weren't supposed to be involved in the curricula. But she went to the Governors Association, and Bill Clinton was the chair of the Governors Association, and George Bush, 41, was the president at that time. And she made a statement that education was going to be, education was going to be changed. I forgot the word that they used. But anyway, education was going to be changed. Facts would no longer be important. What was important were values. So here comes your social emotional garbage. That individualism was no longer important. They had to be, everything was group oriented. It was all for the group, for the collectives. And teaching was not to be teaching life experience. Teaching was to be training to work. And then we had the school to work program. And then Bush 43 put in, as you said, Bush 43 put in No Child Left Behind, and good old Jebby used Florida as his test market to market No Child Left Behind. And I don't know if people realize that it was either Neil Bush or Milton Bush, their other brother, went to China and did all of the programming for No Child Left Behind and was very much in tune with the way the Chinese handled education. And that's
and
what No Child Left Behind was copied from. And then Obama, they realized that in order for the states, which were supposed to be incubators of new ideas, they determined that everybody should be, wouldn't it be wonderful if at 12 o'clock noon and every day in every school, every fifth grade school would be teaching the same thing. And that was what Race to the Top was supposed to do. Race to the Top was supposed to enhance the grades, and if the grades went up to a certain degree, then they were supposed to get money and get a race to the top grant and award. And what happened in Florida, it was based on the population of the state, and Florida was supposed to get $360 million. Charlie Crist was the governor at that time. And I remember because I was working with Senator Evers and telling them, you can't take the Race to the Top money. You can't do this. You can't implement it because it has a feature called Common Core, and our experts who went through all of the curricula of Common Core, first of all, it was never supposed to be nationwide. It was never supposed to be a nationwide curricula, but they proved that any child that learned anything under Common Core would be 2 years behind. 2 years behind the middle,
it was
2 years behind.
Exactly. It was every child left behind. Instead of it being no child left behind, it was every child left behind is what it really is.
Right. This was part of affirmative action of lowering the standards.
Yep.
So it's all pushed together. And we went to, I remember when Senator Evers, after the vote, came back into the room that we were in, and he said, "I am so sorry, but we had to accept Race to the Top." Why did we have to accept Race to the Top? Because Charlie Crist already took the money and spent it. So they had
to. And that's the other. When was the Federal Department of Education, when was that created?
In the 60s.
Under Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and of course that explains a lot. The peanut farmer. How many Republicans said they were going to get rid of it?
Yeah, part of the charter. Well, okay. Now Ronald Reagan was elected on that. Part of the charter of the Department of Education was that they specifically would not be involved in curricula. So that was their own education code. Now, my friend, who was Charlotte Isaby, unfortunately passed away, but she was the senior policy analyst for Ronald Reagan, who was specifically tasked to close the Department of Education. And she was in the Department of Education, and they were pulling out, the books and the papers and everything and getting ready to close the department, when she stumbled upon a locked file cabinet in one of the closets. And, of course, Charlotte had to open it, which she did. And what she discovered in there was the papers that were written under Eisenhower that was to take education and turn it into the Soviet style of education, which was everybody learns the same thing at the same time. And
yes.
The deliberate dumbing down of the populace. So what happened was she took the papers and copied them all. And she has a book that's still online. It's called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And her son has the other papers on a website called, I can't think of it. I'll think of it in a minute, though. Anyway, her son has the rest of the paperwork on his website. And she put out this book, but she was the original whistleblower. She went to her superior, and she said to him, what about that file cabinet over there? It's locked. Now, in the meantime, she had taken all of the documents out at night, and she had copied them. So she had copies of all the documents. Well, she wrote a letter to Reagan, and she told Reagan what she had found. And 2 days later, she was fired. So this was not
yep.
something that was, this was in the works for a long time.
Yes, and that's what people need to appreciate. And that's the other part where the states, yeah, at the state level, we could easily shut down the Federal Department of Education if you had people at the state level who actually did their job, but that doesn't happen because they bring home the bacon. How many times did I bring home the bacon? Yeah, somebody else wants to chime in there?
I just remembered the name of the website. It was called AmericanDeception.com.
Yeah.
And all of the paperwork from that time is there.
Tales
and
from the Crypt.
In addition to that, Bill Gates signed an agreement, which I also have a copy of. Bill Gates signed an agreement with the United Nations to provide the software to be able to produce worldwide Common Core. So this was not an American thing. This was being done to the entire world of dumbing down the citizens of the world.
Agenda 21.
That's Agenda 21.
Right.
Exactly.
And
that's what all of these agendas that we have today are modeled after. The granddaddy is Agenda 21.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Joe?
And look, here's the deal. There have been several times in the past that people have tried to pass school choice, right? You know, sending
mm-hmm.
people to private and charter schools and things of that nature. Using money, and people always think, well, it's all about the money. It's all about keeping the money, keeping the people in the public schools because that's how they get paid. Is how many butts are in seats, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's not the point. The point is, if you allow school choice, and they go to Let's say a Catholic school or a private school, and that private school isn't running Common Core or something like it, and it's teaching the right stuff, you know, then what happens?
Hold on a second there. We're running out of time, so I want to kind of go back. When did you first learn about Agenda 21?
Agenda 21 probably... It had to be when Glenn Beck went from CNN to Fox News.
Okay.
So about two and a half decades ago, maybe, you know.
It was sometime around the 98. I think it was around 98 when I first did. 96 was when I started getting more involved in public policy and realizing what was really going on. My mother was a diehard Democrat, but she was a Kennedy Democrat. I've often wondered what she would think of what's going on today. Because she definitely wouldn't have gone with this transgender and all this other insanity. Why do you think Democrats don't like this Kennedy
here? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
He didn't talk about what our friend has just been talking about with Reagan and stuff like that. He was talking about it from Beck was talking about it from the from the UN perspective. All
right.
Agenda 21.
Yeah.
You know?
George, Vice President Bush. George Bush was in there.
A lot of this
engaged.
Stuff, a lot of this bad stuff that happened up until 2008 or whatever, started with the Democrats. Yeah, those papers got written during the Eisenhower administration. And basically, if you go and read about Eisenhower, he did say he wanted the Republican
okay.
Party to be a more liberal party, right? He said that. Go read what he said. He said that, all right? But a lot of this stuff in terms of mortgages and all this stuff started with Carter in the Carter administration.
Yeah.
You know,
we got to kind of wrap it up here. So I don't mean to cut you off. We can definitely continue the education and this goes back to knowledge is power. So they had to take away the knowledge. They had to dumb down people. And this is good old Jefferson. If you expect to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and will never be. So this is the way, this was all part of the plan to take us down, which was all part of the Agenda 21 as well. But I don't want to cut you off there, but I want to go around the table real quick here and then wrap up. So, Joe, when did you first learn or hear about Agenda 21?
Well, Agenda 21 actually came out June 13th, 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. And, you know, and mainly its comprehensive plan in action, of course, you know, was taken globally and locally by organizations of the United Nations system and governments to, you know, major groups in every area and aspect of human rights. And that's what the falsified plan really was. I don't know about this education stuff and everything that I said was squeezing in there, but George Bush didn't create it. This is the global elite. The president, George Bush and Obama and all them, they're not global elites. They're nobodies. You know, the people that run this world, Klaus Schwab's and the Rockefeller Foundation and people behind that and stuff, you know, those are the elites, the Rothschilds, you know, they run the world, the Pope, you know.
The Bushes are definitely involved.
They're peons, though.
Yeah.
They're peons, you know. They're scapegoats. They could be thrown under the bus in a second, you know.
As president of the United States, they had a lot of influence.
Yeah.
You are
somebody
being president of the United States. You can do it.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, they,
I mean,
yeah,
George,
you don't understand their corporate actors,
Sally.
But
on the market. What's that?
But the Bushes are corporate actors, though. You know, they're corporate actors. I mean, when you think about it, Sally, right? Who controls everything? What did Nathan Rothschild say? Give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who writes its laws. You know, who controls the money controls everything. You know, the central bankers, the scheme of things. So that's who runs everything. But, you know, we can get into these little soap opera debates about, Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke and, you know, all these other people, you know, and it's just going to distract us from the goal here. You know, what's the goal? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, yeah, Carrie, you trying to say something real quick?
Yeah, there's a really good movie. It's called Monopoly, Who Owns the World? And in actuality, every single thing that we do, touch, see, feel, own, have anything to do with is owned and controlled by five companies. The major three are Vanguard, State Street, and wait a minute, I'll think of the other one. BlackRock. Those three corporations are the three major corporations. They own and control every other corporation through investments, etc. And right up there, right next to them, is the Gates Foundation, and underneath the Gates Foundation, but with the same cloud as the Clinton Initiative Fund and the Bush family. So those are the five major players. But this is a very interesting movie because, or documentary, because it actually shows and pinpoints how these people, everything is connected. They are all connected. Nobody does anything without the knowledge of the other. It's amazingly disgusting.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That is
okay. Well, anyway, Boyd, let me, again, we're going to kind of wrap up here. Boyd, when did you first hear about Agenda 21?
You know, Sally, I've been racking through the dustbins of my mind, and I've got so much dust floating in the air, I really don't remember. You know, I know it's been 20, 30 years since I heard about it, but tell me when? Hell, I don't know. It's been around for so long that I just can't remember.
Yep. And throughout that time, how much in the general public, how many people had any clue about it?
Not enough.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, John, are you still there? I'm trying to remember. I think you and I learned about Agenda 21 around the same time down there in Orlando. It was in the 90s. If you're still there. Oh, or you're on mute because we can't hear you. Okay. Well, John, was that you? Did I heard somebody say something? I'm not sure if that was John or someone else. But I remember years ago because John and I were partners in crime down there in Central Florida. And at the time, John was helping me when I was running for Orange County Mayor and stuff like that. So back then, that's when we were learning all about Agenda 21, what it really was. It's all disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But that's where we are. And when you take the Agenda 21, then go look at the timelines of this COVID stuff, what they were doing here, and you just see, it's like, how can people be this evil? It's just beyond mm-hmm. me to figure how people can be this evil. How people, and greed, the need, the whatever it is, this greed and power that people want, it's so sick, and our country is dying because we've been so brainwashed, so we've lost the culture. The culture's been taken over by those who invade us, who don't believe in us, and who want to destroy us. It's just, it's a very sad state of affairs. And that's why this election is so important. It is so, so important. We have got to get people out there educated. And, you know, we can have the different battles, but about the Republicans versus the Democrats, it really truly is a uniparty out there. But we've got to try to get some decent Republicans out there, because the Democrats will all stay together no matter what, that's, you know, whatever. But when it comes to these Republicans, or no party affiliates, we got to get some decent people in there who are going to represent us. Look at the crap that this Republican Congress has done, too. And they're not strong enough to say, yes, we're going to have a shutdown. We're not going to fund Ukraine while our own border is being invaded, and we're not going to accept, oh, well, we'll let 5,000 illegals come in every day. That's okay. We'll allow an invasion of 5,000. I mean, totally insane. Totally insane. And this is what the Republicans are willing to go along with. I mean, how much worse can these stupid Republicans get? I just don't know. It scares me to think. Because they're not doing their job. There's a small handful. Somebody trying to say something?
And Sally, think about it this way. We're talking about snakes. Republican snakes, right? Well, we got rid of Ronald McDaniel, who is a national snake. Well, the thing is you go up there to New York City, New York State, and the head of the New York GOP is basically a Democrat.
Yeah.
And he gives he gives the money to the people to go and get elected as, you know, House members. I mean, yeah, at least Stefanik got elected, and she's a big Trump guy, but if he don't give you the money, you're not going to get – that guy needs to go.
Well, yeah, but okay, and I don't want to get into all that part of it now either because, we're wrapping up. But that's all – changing the control or the leadership at the GOP, at the RNC, at the headquarters, getting – Ronna McDaniels out of there, And if it ends up being Laura Trump or whoever, I'm not, can't remember who they said last, I think it was her. If they get somebody else in there who's going to be a pro-MAGA person, then I think we're going to get money to the right people. But that still doesn't stop whatever control, what's his name, McConnell can do. What the garbage he can still do, because he still has control over a lot of money, too, unfortunately, right, when it comes to campaigns. So the whole game, and there has to be an awareness that, you know, Republicans, if you are a MAGA Republican, if you believe in America first and you want to save America, you better go to your local Republican committees and your state, the Republican Party of Florida, which has always been corrupt as far as I know. You better go there and get them to clean up their act, because it's the money all through the whole system. You know, it really is. So wait a minute, you got the people of Republican Party of Florida is so disgusting. I know I see Cindy out there, and she hasn't chimed in tonight, but she knows how disgusting the Republican Party of Florida is, and so does Karen. These are supposed to be the ones who are your allies, and they work against you. With friends like that, who needs enemies? But now that they're changing at the top, if they really go through and get this changed after Super Tuesday, because McDaniel just had to be there for that, she had to go to that party or whatever it is, try to leave her name in some kind of decent, I don't know, who knows why she couldn't resign before, just like McConnell. When that's all said and done, and you change that leadership at the RNC, that's going to be a very telling story. If that RNC at that point, if they don't get to the state parties like the Republican Party of Florida, they don't get to the state ones and say, hey, you guys got to clean up your act too. Or you're not going to get money from us too. We're going to go out there and give the money to the right people. I think they could truly reform the Republican Party. Maybe. I thought Trump would either totally destroy the Republican Party or he would reform it. Right now there's a chance he's going to reform it. If this doesn't happen, it doesn't matter, because there won't be the Republicans elected. And if we don't take back this House to at least get some decent people in there enough to save us until we can clean up some more of the mess, then we have no country. 2024 is judgment year for the American Republic, the United States of America. Will this republic survive 2024? I don't know. I see a lot of people out there, which gives me some encouragement, and I'm not willing to surrender yet. Live free or die kind of thing. I'm still out there. With that being said, does anybody have any very quick words of wisdom they want to share just before we drop off? Because we are at the end. We can have a very quick roundtable for the final words of wisdom. Karen, you want to go? What are your final words of wisdom? And tell us about your show.
My show this weekend is going to be discussing Obamacare and Islam, and the fact that the Islamists are teaming together with the CCP and the communists to drive out the Western culture. So I have some very interesting people on, and Obamacare is a total disaster. People are being coded, and that's how they receive their medical care. Otherwise, both the insurance companies and the doctors don't get paid. So that is a major mess also. And the other thing is, folks, if we don't get involved, we will suffer the consequences, and we will suffer them badly for a long, long time. So we have to get involved. There's no choice. So
uh-oh,
that's my parting words. We must get involved. We cannot let our towns, our counties drop off and become favored grounds for the communists, because that's what they are looking for. They are looking to destroy us, and they are doing a magnificent job. I just read that in Texas, in the last 3 days, over 7,000 people each day has come across the border, each day. So think about that.
Crazy. Absolutely insane. Okay, thank you. Joe, are you going to have a show tonight yourself? Any updates on where you got stuff you're going to do for your election tomorrow?
I might have a show tonight, late tonight, just I won't be sleeping, that's for sure. But, I'll be out at the polls. I got about 7 people coming out to the polls to help out. I need about 5 more. But, we'll see what happens. And,
you know, with the election and see, you know, see how far this goes. You know, I'm at war with these people, obviously. They're out to get me. And we'll see how many people stand with me. We'll see how many people run away, scared. And we'll see who backstabs me, and we'll go from there. God bless our republic.
Yes, God bless America. God bless the republic. And our prayers are with you. We hope you make it. We know what you've been through, and we need the right people in there, not the evildoers like the games they're playing. So good luck with that, and keep us posted. Okay, let's see who's next after that. Boyd, what are your final words of wisdom for the night?
My final words of wisdom is keep calm and carry on. It ain't time for the rockets, but God damn it, listen for the guy on the radio saying John has a big mustache.
And that's important. People need to know that's important. Looks like Mike has dropped off.
Do you understand John has a big mustache?
Yeah. I do. Would you like to share?
That was the code words that were used on the night of June 5th, 1944.
Yep.
To inform the French resistance, it's time.
Yep, and what are we going to call it this time?
I don't know. Do we have to call it anything other than we're going to kick some ass?
Well, maybe that's what it should be. Drill.
Ass kicking time. That's what it will be. What it will be.
Yep. Time to kick butt. The time has come. Time to kick butt. Call to action. Patriots, come out, whatever. But,
oh,
yep,
God,
okay.
Was it Donnie C. last night that played that song, I'm going to kick your ass or something like that?
Well, I don't know if you ever listened to Ted Nugent on Real America's Voices. He's got some good ones going out there, and he talks about the same kind of stuff. If you've never listened to Ted Nugent on Real America's Voices, go out there and listen. You'll laugh while you're getting the message. He's pretty funny. And he's got his guns ready. No one's going to stop him from eating his venison or beef or whatever he wants to eat.
Nope.
So. Okay, well, like I say, that looks like I see John, but he wasn't responding last time, so he's either on mute or he's left the building and gone someplace else or whatever. And that's okay. With that being said, everybody, please, thank you for tuning in. Please get engaged, as Karen was saying. Listen to the show. She's going to have it's going to be some very good information on her show next time. And we will resume this conversation next week. Next week, we're going to focus a lot more on the COVID issue. But we have to, fire Congress. We have to get people who actually believe in us. We have to get them to sign an agreement. Are you really going to do this? Do you believe in this enough to sign an agreement telling me this is what you're going to do? If you don't, then I know I can't trust you. Will you be better than the other scum over there in the other party? Maybe. Who knows? One scum versus another, scumbag to a scumbag. I'm tired of it. We need some people who actually believe in us. And let's truly hope this Republican National Committee change is going to make a difference in the true leadership of the Republican Party. If it doesn't, I have a lot of hope that changing that leadership there at the national level can trickle down to some of the others, and it might truly make a difference. So that Trump can save the Republican Party while he saves our country. Because what is the Republican Party for?
Yeah.
What's the difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party? What did they truly believe? Who was the one who believed in freedom? Who was the one that believed in slavery? Can we get back to the truth on the history of it?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people are pretty ignorant about it all. But anyway,
really... What we really kind of need is Newt's contract with America.
Well, I like the idea of it in theory, but if you go back to the history of that, they didn't hold most of it. They failed on most of it.
I beg to differ with you because I worked on a bill during that time frame, and my bill that I worked on was the fourth most co-signed bill out of the contract with America. So we beat out six of Newt's goddamn bills of points.
Well,
I do remember
I'd have to go back and look at the list of them. And I don't see Nathan out there tonight. Otherwise, Nathan would tell you all the things they didn't do with Newt's contract with America, the various things that they failed to do. This was the Republicans. So there's another time for a debate on how effective that was.
Yeah.
And when I did this, what I'm talking about doing, I'm trying to do it with the individual versus to say all the Republicans are going to have a contract with America. Because right now I don't know how – I don't know. After what I saw with the other one, it doesn't – how many of them have said what they were going to do to begin with? I'm trying to make it more of an individual candidate. You want me to vote for you? I want to know that you truly believe in these things. You're willing to put your name, sign the line here, that you truly believe in this.
But here is one thing, though, that the contract with America did. It brought in the class of 94, which was probably the most newly elected Congress people into the Congress. They were all new, brand new. They were all serving their first terms.
Okay, so I'm not really sure.
It changed out a lot of seats in the Congress.
Yes. We need to change that many seats out this time around too. When it comes right down to it, but I'm not sure that's what the point is. The contract with America. They'll go down the list, and depending on if you go down the list, what they really did versus, giving you fluff on what they said they did at the end result. It was all a nice idea. It was all great. That's sort of what made me think of this idea to have a contract with the candidates. When I go with a candidate, I'm going to have this list, and you're going to tell me you agree to all these except this. Okay, then at least I know where you stand. And if you and you do something different, you're going to be seeing this. It's a fraud. You're perpetrating a fraud on me. And you are a fraud because this is what you signed your name to, and your signature means nothing. So we have to make sure we do what we can to not get you reelected next time if you do it. We need to call you out on it. But, I mean, it's the same idea, except when if you think they did everything perfect on the contract with America, that's fine. I'm not going to get into that here right now. Because I haven't got the information in front of me. I haven't looked at it lately.
Well,
I can't to tell you which pieces they dropped off. Yes. And please hurry because we're going to wrap up here. I've been trying to wrap up for about 20 minutes now.
I'm not going to argue with you about whether it was effective, all the way through. But you got to admit it was an effective campaign strategy.
Yes, and see, if the Republicans are supposed to have a thing called a platform, if they had a platform that actually meant something and then they followed it, that would be a good thing, too.
Yep.
But what is the platform of the Republican Party? Who knows?
We won't know until the convention.
Well, yeah, and isn't that a little bit late?
That's usually when parties do their platform work,
point. Okay, so, well, this will be after we've done the whole thing is so stupid. I'm sorry. The political party crap is part of the reason why we're in the shape we're in. We've allowed two stupid parties. And you mean to tell me, when should you have your convention? Shouldn't we have already had a convention that said what the platform was going to be? So that people who are running for office saying, here's what our platform is. If you don't support this platform, then we're not going to be able to help you with your election. You have to support this platform. And by the way, the Republicans across the country, here's what we really stand for. We're going to tell you now, not after the election. Well, let's wait until after the election to figure out. And, of course, the convention is for the presidential piece. But we'll tell you halfway through this what we stand for. Isn't that a little bit late? You shouldn't even have to have a convention to tell me that. You mean to tell me the Republican Party can't tell me today what it stands for? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty sick? I mean, whatever they want to call their platform, are you going to say, well, our platform is going to be, we're going to stop illegal immigration. We're going to stop the invasion. Why do you need a platform to say that? That should automatically be it. This is why I have no respect for these people. And unfortunately, too many Republicans seem to think it's okay the way they do stuff. I don't get it. I really don't. I'm not trying to complain about what you're saying, but I'll put it this way simply. This is the old party mentality thinking. The Republicans are always going to do the right thing, and they're all going to go. They're going to tell us, they're going to give us the right electors for the presidential stuff, and they're going to have a good platform. Wait, because the Republicans, they're going to do the right thing, right? They're not going to tell anybody. It's just insane. You shouldn't have to keep – do Republicans – what outside of saying most Republicans don't believe in abortion, what else do they stand for? I can't really tell you half the time.
I understand. I fully follow you, Sally. And I understand.
Yep. Oh, I'm truly looking for the answer. What did McDaniel stand for? Buying roses, buying flowers, flower arrangements. Flower arrangements was her platform. Great. Insane. It really is insane. Anyway, with that being said, I do need to go ahead and wrap it up here. And with that, please be engaged. Don't give up on the union yet. Don't give up on a republic. Say a prayer for America. Remember, or at least I love my country. It's my government I'm afraid of. I think we should all be afraid of what it's doing out there. So God bless America and good night, everyone. We will talk again next week. It's been great. It's been a good discussion. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.